That was a wonderful thing, and I know that Miss Connor plays Sunday school. Thank you very much for that, Cynthia. We really appreciate it. We do. And we appreciate all of you. Appreciate you all. That somebody asked me today, Pastor, you know those at 9:45 you have those illustrations. If some of you guys would like to do that, see Brother Fur, and he'll help you with that. We'd love to have you come in 10 minutes or less. And as we get started in the Sunday school, don't miss Sunday school. Don't miss Sunday school. Sunday school it's just a part of learning. And certainly love to have you here. Take your Bible tonight, Psalm 33. And let's stand tonight, Psalm 33, 6 through 9. We read that this morning, and I've been bringing you a series of messages on perfecting the saints. The Bible said God gave the apostles and prophets, and those are gone. They're no longer. But you have the evangelists. We just had Bobby Brown. We have Brother Joe Mark coming here pretty quick. And these guys that go around, and my mom used to say, they come in and afflict the comforted, and then the pastor has for 1 year to comfort his afflicted after they go home. Amen. And then we have pastors and teachers. And certainly they are there, the Bible says, for the perfecting of saints. Psalm 33. Verse 6, of the perfecting of saints. Perfecting means getting things in order. It means to, when a person is building something, he makes it in perfect dimension. Pray for us. We're working on this steeple, and we're looking at about $5,000. That's to purchase one. That's not putting it up or anything, but we're looking about there. Hope to God that we get that money so we can have it in. I want one. I want a big one. They're trying to talk me out of it. But I want a big one. I want at least 24 footer with a 4 foot cross on top of it. I want the boys over the base to know that we're a Christian Bible Baptist preaching glory to God, hallelujah, church, amen. And we want lights on it, you know. And so I don't know what I was getting at. What was I getting at? But anyway. Just so excited about it. But perfecting, yes. So I want to perfect you to give it. But anyway, but we're looking forward to those things. But perfecting is made exactly perfect. Exactly fit perfect. Just like a fine jewel Swiss watch. All those little gears and cogs come together just perfect. And the Bible says that's what the pastor is supposed to do. And the evangelist is supposed to do. And the teacher is supposed to perfect you so that you know how to do it. I'd hate to have wasted all my 31 years of this church. You walk away from here and say, well, I don't understand about tithing. I don't understand about soul winning. I don't understand about getting along and loving each other. I don't understand about, you know, salvation. And I just don't want to not take this opportunity to perfect you. I have tried real hard in my ministry and my life to find out as much things I can to add to your life so that you can learn to perfect certain things in your life. It's not that because I want to bore you or that I want to get you to the point in your life that you know everything. That would be nice. But I want you to know that there is learning all the time. I try constantly. I'm in constant training. I am at the sheriff's office. I'm constant training there. For chaplaincy, I'm constant training there. Just the other day, I took 8 straight hours at the hospital on training in spiritual care. And boy, I caught some little nuggets. Amen. And boy, that's what I'm there for, you know. And I'm trying to learn everything I can so I can better myself to bring to you and say, hey, here's something we could do. And so that's just the perfecting. So look at the Bible. We're talking about perfecting the saints in God, getting you to understand who God is. I will tell you tonight, there is no way that I'm going to do it in just a few minutes. There is no way. I have been studying this Word of God for over 50 years. In fact, when I was a little baby, my mama was teaching the Word of God. And when I was 2, I was quoting scriptures because she just pumped it into me all the time. Boy, I'm glad about that. And even she told me when she was carrying me, she was reading the Bible to me. Those babies hear, and they know. I know there's a number of times that we used to sing in our church, it's amazing what praising can do. And so when the baby was born, I would come up to the hospital and I'd start singing. All of a sudden, I'm not kidding you, that baby would go like this. When I walk in the room, it heard my voice. Those babies know me. Yes, they do. They know my voice. Don't kid yourself. So you need to read the Bible to your babies. Whether they're ready to launch or not, read the Bible. Amen. To them. Amen. All right. Verse 6, chapter, there's no chapters in the Psalms. It's Psalm 33, verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together in a heap. He layeth up the depths in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. What an amazing portion of Scripture just to remind us how great God is and how he works. Father, speak to our hearts now, Lord. Help us, Lord, to listen carefully. We do thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving us and caring for us. So many times, Lord God, we read the Bible. We don't even comprehend it. We just read it and read it and read it and read it. And I pray, Holy Father, just speak to our hearts today and help us to listen carefully to what you have for us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I turned my thing off and it went haywire on me here. Hang on, there you are, right there. Okay. I want to talk about the nature of God's omniscience. Omniscience. Omni means all, and science, that's how you spell it. Science, omniscience, science. Science means knowledge. So God is all knowledge. And we talked about God's knowledge and the fact that his definition is God all-knowing. His knowledge includes all things that are past, everything that ever happened. We call that history. Well, it's actually his story, right? History. That's how you can spell history. Amen. I had a hard time in school until my mother told me it's his story. Oh, man. Don't put two S's in there. It'll hurt you. But anyway. And I like that old farmer that says, spell cow. C-O-W-E-I-E-I-O. But anyway. So the definition is all things past, all things present. That's right now. This is present. This is in the present. And in all things in scripture, he knows everything about that. And then there's biblical proof, 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, who knoweth all things. Talks about the manifestation of his omnipresent manifestation, means it shows off. Psalm 147, verse 4. He telleth the number of the stars and calleth them all by name. Wow! In the Milky Way, in the spiral nebula of the Milky Way, there's over a billion stars. I don't know how they counted them, because I'd run out of fingers and toes, amen. But they say there's over a billion of them, and they say that there is so many more that we don't even know. There's so many more constellations out there that mankind doesn't even know exist. Poop, we put the Hubble telescope up there, great big old thing, look out there. They go to what we used to call the black hole. I remember in school they used to talk about the vacuum that sucked up all the light, amen. They're finding there's so many more stars beyond that. And if you want to have some fun, go in on your computer and look up the look up the Hubble telescope and look at some of those magnificent pictures of the universe, most incredible. And this is what the Bible says. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by name. He calleth them all by name. If I was asked you to stand up right now and name all the people in this church, you'd have a little difficulty. I, the pastor, pretty much could name you, but I wouldn't want to put on a spot because I know when we're getting Thanksgiving supper things and all that, I kind of, and I'm hoping Rick could say that. But God knows all the numbers of the stars and He knows them all by name. I am so thrilled when I see that. It just tickles me. It just gives me a wow. Can you imagine? Now, please, tonight, I'm not sure if it's going to be a cloudy night or not, but you can look on your cell phone, and it usually shows you if it's cloudy or not, and look up to those stars. Get out of town before you do it, though, because I hate lights. So, then the nature of God's omniscience. Number one, it's perfect. He doesn't make a mistake. When I was going to college, in my last 68 hours, I got a straight 4.0. I worked very hard. I had some real brilliant dudes in our church, but I wasn't going to let those guys beat me in scholastics. I wasn't going to let them do it because I'm the pastor, and I'm supposed to know better than they are. And I'd stay up, and I'd get about 3 hours of sleep at night, but bless God, when I came to school, I screwed up their curve. Sorry. They get so mad at me. And I'd say, why don't you have three boys that are teenagers and not miss a basketball game or a soccer game and also be building in this church and have a wife and have a life and go to school also. You have no excuse. You quit watching the Monday Night Football. Sorry. Go and have a coffee with the boys and do your study and you'll be all right. Amen. So God's nature of this, His omnipresence, His omniscience is perfect. Look at Job 37, verse 16. Job 37, 16. Dost thou know the balancing of the clouds? The wondrous works of Him which is perfect in, God said it, knowledge. Not only is it perfect, but it's complete. Hebrews 4:13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. But all things are naked and open in His eyes of Him which whom He hath to do. In other words, boys and girls, you cannot hide from God. Teenagers, you cannot hide from God. You may hide things from your mom and dad. You may hide things from your preacher. You may hide things from your Sunday school teacher. You may hide things from your deacons. You may hide things from your aunts and uncles and grandma and grandma. But I will tell you right now, the light is on. God knows everything that you do, everything you say. And He even knows your thoughts and your text messages and the junk that you listen to and watch. Yes, He does. So His omniscience is complete, without question. Number three, it has moral purpose. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 3, the eyes of the Lord on every place, beholding the evil and the good. When things really happen and we want people to really look at us, usually nobody's looking at us. And we're doing something that's not just right. People are watching us. Amen. One old guy said it. Before he got married, he gave his wife, his girlfriend a kiss. He said, nobody's looking. But he said, isn't that amazing? Love is blind, but the neighbors ain't. Malachi 3:16. Then they that fear the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that fear the Lord and that thought upon his name. What do you think that Bible says? The Bible says everything you said is what? Written down. That little sassy remark you made to your mama is written down. That little flat out lie you told your dad is written down. And someday it is appointed on the man once to die and then the judgment. We will all stand before a holy God at the, if you're a Christian, you will stand before God at the Bema seat. That's where the rewards come. And he said, I will give you rewards of gold, silver, and precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. He said, I don't like that. You better get in your prayer closet, and you better start asking God to forgive you of some stupid things you've been doing. Or it will be brought to the attention. Because the Bible said, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we just let it go and just let it go, let it just accumulate, we will all stand before that holy Jesus, Jehovah, and he will judge us on the stand. And by the way, you ain't going up there with your mama or daddy, and they're not going to say anything. Years ago, a young man was taken to court. As he stood before the judge, his dad stood up and he said, sir, can I say this? No, sit down, sir. You're contempt of court. This is not about you. It's about your son. But, sir, you're in contempt of court one more time, sir, and I will put you in jail. And then the judge proceeded to rip this kid apart. Of his stupid act, his stupidity, and an ignorant way of living, and he sent him to jail. Someday we will stand before a holy God someday. And we'll give account of the things we've done good and the things we've done bad. Yes, you will. Yes, you will stand before a holy God. And those that have done for God like they should have done, they will be able to cast their crowns at Jesus' feet. And then there's going to be some people standing back who are going to weeping, and they'll realize their life was but a mess. And I really believe with all my heart God is going to say, you know, when you did that, you gave a great opportunity to the devil to keep people from being saved. I've seen churches split apart over some of the stupidest things because someone wanted gray carpet, someone wanted blue carpet, and the church splits off. Think of what that church could have been doing today if they would stuck together and would pull their resources together and be able to preach the Word of God. Now they got a little splattering over here and a little splattering over there. God have mercy on us. Are we crazy or what? That's what they call, I believe, the mystery of iniquity. Why in the world would that ever happen? Talked to family the other day. Haven't been in church for years. Something happened in church, and someone did something, and they said, we don't want a part of that because that can't be Christian. And by the way, it's not. And you ought to have enough intestinal fortitude to stand up when people are starting talking bad about things and people are talking about things that do not concern them. It's not in their area of justice, and say, hey, I don't think you ought to be talking like that. It's an amazing thing. I find out, it's very amazing, that there's a lot of people never come to me with a complaint or a gripe about somebody else. You know why? For the most part, I'm going to put them in their place. But I know some people always, there's a sounding board. I heard a guy say, well, you know, you might as well tell me because, you know, you need somebody just a sounding board. Yeah, I got him. His name is Jesus Christ, and he never goes to spread gossip. I just got to get it off my chest. It isn't in your chest, it's in your brain, idiot. Maybe someone else sit on your brain. Maybe that's a good idea. Oh, but Pastor, this is really bothering me. Go to God about it. Let God take care of it. But I'm going to tell you something. The omniscience of God, He knows everything. Let me read another scripture about His purpose in Hosea chapter 7, verse 2. And they considered not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. You ought to write that in the back of your Bible. Hosea 7, 2. And they considered not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their own doing have beset them around. They are before my face. People just don't get it. You don't. Hey, folks, get it. Get this one thing. God knows what you're doing. God knows where you're going. God knows your thoughts. In fact, He said, I know your thoughts are far off. Before you even say it, I already know what you're going to think about. That's scary. Shouldn't be, but it is. The omnipresence of God. Now the omniscient, now the omnipresent. This is where God is with us all the time. First of all, the definition, God is in the universe. Everywhere present at the same time and fills every part of it with His whole being. Explain it to me. Some people think I ought to be two places at one time. I can't. I'm only one place. Now I can think about you. I can think about you, but I'm not there with you to jack slap you tomorrow. Wouldn't it be great if you parents could be with all your kids at all the same time and be able to pick them up, keep them from getting hurt, fight their battles? Can't be it. So therefore, what do we as parents have to do? We have to teach them how to behave themselves and teach them that there's always some elephant trying to get them or some kind of dragon. Teach them that they have to be careful about certain things. You've got to be careful about certain people. They have to be careful about being around certain places. You've got to be careful never to be alone. Did you hear me? Never be alone, because if you're alone, give you some opportunities that you shouldn't be doing some things. Hey, man, mom and dad. So we teach them things. Here's some biblical proof. Psalm 139, verse 7. Where shall I go from thy spirit? It's one of my favorite psalms, Psalm 139. Where shall I go from thy spirit? Or where shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning, and that in the Hebrew, this has the idea of lightning speed. What is it, 186,000 miles per second? That's about fast as Pat drives his motorcycle, anyway. But anyway, talks about the wings. If I take the wings of the morning, if I can speed out faster than the speed of light, and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. God said, I'm there. You boys, you went to Afghanistan. You guys went to Iraq. You guys been all over the world. Djibouti. I just like to say that. That's a cool name. You can't get away from God. Aren't you glad about that? Aren't you thrilled about that? But also, while you're thrilled about it, you've got to also understand that God is with you, so you better behave yourself while you're there. And that is not a time to take a sin vacation. And because your wife's not there doesn't mean you go off and mess with anybody else. Hey, man! God is there, stupid! God is there. And in your little wife's heart, she carries your love, and when you go there, you ought to be carrying her love. Amen. Jeremiah 23:24. Can any hide himself in a secret place that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? Jeremiah 23:24. It's easy to remember. 23:24. Jeremiah. Right down the back of your Bible. You need that. The manifestation of God's omnipresence. God has chosen to manifest himself permanently in heaven. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 3, and hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and thy people Israel when they shall pray towards this place, and hear thou in heaven and dwell at thy dwelling place when thou hearest, forgive. But also the manifestation of himself is also certain other times and places. His presence is everywhere, but he does not manifest himself everywhere. The value of his omnipresent. God is always near at hand. Troubles come. Hey, Nepal. When your little boy's sick. Don't know what's going on. When you're having some problems. What, 41, 44 hours from take you to get from here to Nepal? He's still there. I used to talk to my wife and I'd look up and see the moon. I said, honey, that same moon that I'm looking at, you can look at. It gave us incredible togetherness. So his omnipresence is so important for us because he lives within our heart. And he is there for us. And he will never leave us nor forsake us. God is always near at hand. And no matter where you go, and some of you guys won't be long, and you'll be going on deployment, you can always tell your wife, baby, my God is going to be with me just as much as he's going to be with you, he's going to be with me here. That to me, that gives me assurance. That gives me that perfects me to the fact that I know that he's with me, and he'll never let me. Now, here's some the all wisdom of God. They call this sapience, the all omnisapience, discerning, judicious things that are astute. God applies his knowledge in such a way that the best means are employed to achieve the highest ends of the order of glorifying his Most High. First of all, here's the biblical proof. Romans chapter 16, verse 27. To God, only wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Or chapter 11, verse 3 of Romans. Oh, the depths of the riches, both the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgment and his ways past finding out. His providence. I'm glad God has providence. Amen. It was providence that my pastor would say, hey, I heard about this college out in, first of all, my mother went to a huge ladies' meeting, and the same church that I was saved at. And just a few years later. And she was at that church, and they had this big ladies' meeting, and they had Dr. B. Myron Cederholm there speaking to them. He was an All-American from the University of Minnesota. He was a fullback, football player from the University of Minnesota. And, of course, my mom thought, hey, they have intercollegiate football at Pillsbury. Hey, I'm going to get my boy to Christian College because he's problemed me ever since he's a little baby. She piped that into me all the time. You're going to go to Christian college at least 1 year. You're going to go to Christian college with me. You're going to do that, right? Yeah, she was brainwashing me. Yeah. And she heard about it, and she said, hey, I heard B. Myron Cederholm speak of this deal, and they have a Christian college. I think it'd be a great college for you. She talked my pastor into taking us to college days. That was before Hiles Anderson and any of these other, man, this is back in the dark ages, amen. And so anyway, they took me out there. And I loved the school. And I thought, man, I can come here. That's no big deal. That's God's providence. Sometimes we don't understand God's providence, but God puts us in certain places to meet certain people to do certain things. Roy and Carol, how long did they date before they got married? Huh? 1 week. I know some of you have been, what? How long have you guys dated? Huh. Okay, how about you guys? Julie? 6 months? Yeah. Anybody else shorter? Huh? 2 months? You didn't get a very good deal. who else? Anybody else? Yeah. How many? 3 months? Yeah. Now, how in the world did you meet? I would say that's the providence of God. Some of you may say it was the curse of God, but others say the providence of God. You know, I'm just teasing back there. Anyway, I know, I think. Providence of God bringing us to certain people. Why in the world did Amy Furr come to our rescue at the hospital? Because God knew that her mama needed church, and she needed church, and her brother and sister-in-law needed church, and her sister-in-law's mom and dad needed church. How in the world did Andrew Matthews grow up in Brazil come to Heritage Baptist Church? I believe all of my heart is God's providence. His dad and mom came through here, and we took him out as missionaries. And when he's coming to Great Falls, said, "You are going to go to Heritage." Thank God for his people like that, amen. But God's providence is amazing. And God, Romans chapter 8, verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good for them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose." God's promise. It's God's providence. Also, God in redemption, his manifestation of his will. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10, "To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, to church the manifold wisdom of God." God wants us to be teaching about this and the manifold wisdom of God. And then we see the eternity of God. This is incredible. Eternity really is only God does eternity belong to. Only God. Now, we believe in eternal life, and we have the eternal life through Jesus Christ, but there was a beginning. The eternal flame that's under that's at J.F. Kennedy's memorial. They did turn it off once. So I guess you can't call it the eternal flame, can you? It's the eternal on and off flame. But anyway, God is the author. Now listen, this is very good. God is the author of time. I don't know about you, but I'm really time sensitive. I have a clock up here that sets itself by electronic means, and it's just always on time. It's always on time. 7 o'clock right now, you can set your clock, and it's 50 seconds. Well, that's what mine says. But about every week, I got a new watch. My sister-in-law bought this watch for a man. It's a Timex, but man, it just keeps time. It's unbelievable. It takes the ticking and keeps on licking. Amen. No. Keeps it ticking, keeps on, no. Takes the licking, keeps on ticking. Amen. But anyway, that was their advertising many years ago. But anyway, on my computer, I go into the atomic clock. How many ever done that? Go to the top of the clock. See, there's a few people. Why doesn't it help you, brother? You're always late. But anyway. And you go in there, and you get the exact time. And man, I set mine, and boy, when the zeros hit, I hit mine, and boy, she's right on. And I don't know, I just fetish of mine or whatever, you know, but I like to have time. I got this clock there. I got one up in my office. I got one in my house. And then I can always get whatever I want on the internet. Amen. But God's timing is incredible. The author of time. His existence cannot be measured by time. Time is marked by succession of events. History. This is time. It's his story. Amen. God is above time in that sense. Man is above time in a feeble sense. He can aspire and remember, but he cannot be like God. And so God's perfect timing. Psalm 90, verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Deuteronomy 33:27. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Hebrews 1:2. Hath in the last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he made the worlds. Job 36:26. Behold, God is great. And we know him not, neither can the number of his years be searched out. Isaiah 57:15. For thus saith the high and lofty one and that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is in a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite one. There are a number of times in the Word of God, eternal is mentioned in the Bible, but only once. Only once in the Bible is the word eternity used. Only once. I also want you to talk about the mutability of God, the immutability of God. The definition, God is changeless in his person, his attitude, his purpose. He is incapable of growth, incapable of decay in any respect. I'm glad about that. You know, some people change. You guys get married. She looks at you and says, I'm going to change that bugger. I'm going to change him. Do I got some news for you? He ain't going to happen. He'll get worse. For the most part, he ain't going to get better. You're going to be picking up his socks until you put him in the rest home. And all the other paraphernalia that lays around. He told you he was hungry before he got married. Now he says, feed me. And before he got married, she was so loving. Oh, honey, anything I can get you? And now it's, get it yourself. You have two legs. She entrapped you. She told you all these things. And had her mother tell you all these things. And they're all lies. Don't look at me like a cow looking at a new gate. You know that's the truth. You're just hoping that she don't catch you or he don't catch you before you get married. Because once you get married, you know as Baptists, we're married the rest of our life. Yeah, I think that's what the Bible says. Yeah. You're mutable. You change. You wake up in the morning. You look at her. You can't believe it. She's got green on her face. She's got two slices of cucumbers on her eyeballs. She's got something in her hair that you just go, good night. How many stations do you get, baby? Are you getting out of space? he's got that out of bed. He's got chicken hair. And you're looking at him, man, I've never seen you like that before. Well, you ain't seen nothing yet. Wait till I start watching Duck Dynasty. I'm going to grow me a beard about like that. Hey, 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 Jack. Happy, happy, happy. Don't tell me. You all watch that. Don't give me that blunt. You probably got a towel, one of the 5 foot tall Uncle Si looking at you, amen. I'm not kidding. I went into a Christian bookstore the other day, not to go in there, but so I could cut across. I didn't go into Penny's. I'd take some things back, and so I'm in a speed of hurry. And I walk by and hear Uncle Si, and he's in a Christian bookstore. And I said, hey, hey, Jack. But that man's going to change. Hopefully for the better. But you ain't going to change him, sister. He has to change himself. Men do not change other men. They don't do it. When you try to change a man, change his opinion, it don't work. He's the same opinion still. It is his duty before God and God, the Holy Spirit, in his heart to change him. And hope to God, he will allow God to change him. And that's the only hope you have. Now, I said all that to tell you one thing. God is immutable. He will not change. He is perfect. The Bible said that Jesus Christ set his sight on the cross and never changed, never went to the right or the left. He just headed for Calvary. Aren't you glad about that? I don't know about you, but brother, when they started coming at me, I would have let Peter pull the sword. I would have pulled the sword. I've been boogieing off the Mount of Olives, man. I'm telling you. I don't think so. But Jesus took it. And he never said a thing. He shut his mouth. He let him torture him. I mean, torture him. For you and me. Thank God he's immutable. God has not learned anything. He has not changed his mind about anything. He has not lost any power. He is neither more nor less merciful. He is neither more nor less loving. He is neither more or less wise. He's neither more or less truthful than he ever was. What does the Bible say? James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Aren't you glad? I changed my mind a bunch of times. Sometimes just the way I feel. Sometimes just the way some other people treated me. Sometimes it's just because I forgot. But I will tell you, there's a God who is so perfect that he never turns and there's no shadow of turning. That's where you can tell if there's a change or not. Ezekiel 24:14. I, the Lord, have spoken it. It shall come to pass, and I will do it. I will not go back, neither will I spare, neither will I repent. According to thy ways and according to thy doings, shall they judge thee, saith the Lord God. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Psalm 102, verse 27. But thou art the same. Thy years shall have no end. All right. I know what some of you are thinking.
Pastor,
I know you've got the pulpit, but there's a couple problems with that. Because the Bible says in Exodus 32, verse 14, and the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. I'm going to think of that. Aren't you Bible scholars here at this church? How many are thinking that? Yeah, God repented. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 10, then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, I repented me that I have set up Saul to be king. God said, I have repented I set up Saul to be king. For he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. Second Samuel 24, verse 16. And when the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord repented him of the evil and said to the angel that destroyed the people, it is enough. Stay now thine hand. And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing floor place of Arnon the Jebusite. Hey, preacher, you got an answer for these seemingly errors? Well, first of all, if I don't understand it, it's because I don't understand it, because there's no error in the Bible. Anytime that comes up, you always remember yourself, there's no error in this Bible. It's just I don't understand it. I don't understand the context, I don't understand it. But the Word of God has been proven for thousands of years, thus saith the Lord God, and there's no changing of it. You understand that? God's immutability does not mean he does not have immobility. God changes his dealing with changeable men in order to remain changeless in himself. That is, God treats the righteous differently than he does the wicked. There was a change. Saul was supposed to keep the commandments. Saul didn't keep the commandments. Therefore, it broke God's heart. So he had to do something else. But God didn't change God. He said, but God should have known. Let me tell you something about God. God loves you so much. He gives us enough rope to hang ourselves many times. And God allows us to be in a situation that if Saul would have continue to serve God, things have been all right. Amen. But Saul didn't. And because man sins, man has caused a lot of changes. I heard a man say, in our life, God has a blueprint for all of our lives. How many believe that? How many believe that God has just a regular blueprint for your life? Yeah. And this is how God is building my life. But all of a sudden, we do something, or we take ourselves out of that area, and no longer God says, well, I can't build that room anymore because I have a law that says a person can't do what I want them to do because they have done something else and it's caused them to miss out on that room of their blueprint. And so God has to do what? Redo what? Rewrite a blueprint. I think with all my heart that there's been a few times in my life that God had to rewrite my blueprint. Some of us, it is not such an error or catastrophe that God can, the blueprint pretty much stays about the same. But there's others that God has to say, well, we can't do that. I already have laws. I have precepts. These are things. I have commandments of the Word of God that said, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And when you do that, and you didn't do the thou shalt, thou shalt, thou shalt, thou shalt, you turn, have to have a change in your blueprints. Can everybody have a blueprint? Yeah. A lot of people have some walls that are cemented in.
Yeah.
Some windows cannot be seen out anymore. You take yourself out of the principles of being able to do certain things and see certain things. When a man is a man of God and all of a sudden he goes against the principles of the Word of God, God says, no, you no longer be a man of God. You are done. Because I have the principles of 1 Timothy. Husband, one wife, and just right down the row. And so therefore, he no longer be a pastor anymore. You listen to me. That's a biblical principle. Did God change? No! Man change? Yes. And he's had to suffer the circumstances and suffer the consequences. And not only does he have to suffer the consequences, also his children and his family and his church and you name it, it just goes all down. Same way in a home. Daddy runs off and does some immoral things. Not only does it hurt him, but it hurts his wife. And hurts his children. Hurts his church. And hurts his heritage. The children that will come to him. Is that true? Would you say amen to that? Or oh me, really? Dad makes a mistake and gets mad at the boss and gets fired. No, it hurts him, but who does it hurt? It hurts his wife. It hurts his family. And there's a change in his life. Man starts with drugs. And he craves those drugs more than he craves the love of his wife and craves the love of his children. Therefore, changes things. Very hurtful. God does not change. God is immutable. He does not change. But when man changes, then he has to come in, amen, and deal with us. And I'll be honest with you, I don't like God dealing with me. God's immutability does not mean immobility. God changes dealing with changeable men in order to remain changeless in himself. God treats the righteous differently than he treats the wicked. Here's the practical value. It guarantees to the believer that God cannot fail. That's my guarantee. God's not going to fail me. Have you ever went out in your car and it doesn't start? Have you ever went to your refrigerator, freezer opened up and it's melting? Have you ever went to work and they tell you to go home? That's disheartening. But every day, every moment, every second, there's a God that never changes, and you can always go with Him, and you can always go to Him, and you always come to Him and say, God, I'm in trouble. And He said, yeah, I already know. Didn't surprise me, eh? It guarantees the believer that God keeps His promise. Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. I don't change. What a blessing. God does not change. I don't know about you, but I like people that don't change. I married a wife that does not have these mood swings. She tells me once in a while, I said, boy, she'd be a pretty tough woman to be living with. But anyway, that was a couple years ago. You don't know what to say to them? I mean, they're up one day, down the next, sideways, crosswise, upside down, mostly cross, but anyway. And be honest with you, folks, it's a great thing to be married to a girl like that. You've got a new woman every day. Polygamous. You don't know all you ought to tiptoe in? Sometimes it's best to call her up and say, hey, how you doing today? You're fishing. When you hear, hey, big boy, you're right home, buddy, I'm telling you. I don't feel so good today. I'll pick up the Kentucky Fried. You'll learn to live with that. Yes, you do, or you'll be... that bad word. And you know what? I find out that some guys have the same problem that some girls do. Good night. You're supposed to be the same today. I don't feel like it. Well, get up and feel like it. And I'll give you something to feel. Thank God that God is immutable and He doesn't change. I don't have to worry about where God is. I don't have to worry about what corner He's in. I don't have to worry about how He feels. I don't have to worry about how things are going. All I can go to Him and say, God, I'm in trouble. He says, yeah, I know. How can I help you? He's always there. The Bible said He's faithful. It never changes. Every morning He renews His faithfulness to us. Aren't you glad about God and who He is? I hate to tell you this, but I have 30 pages just starting the top, and I think I got to page 3 here. We're going to quit. I think I've given you enough just to whet your appetite, because every time you read your Bible, see something about God and what He is, and mark it down. Remind yourself how good you got it with God. And remind your husband that he's supposed to act like God. He's supposed to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. So behave yourself. God did not pattern women after man. I'll just tell you that. That's why they're so exciting. And why you're saying like, whoo, what do I got today? Huh? And don't complain about it. Shut up. You're going to get beat up. So, she can't beat me up. It's called verbal.
Oh, yeah.
I'd rather get a whooping than a tongue lashing from a woman. I just, go ahead, beat me over the head. I had a funny joke I was going to tell you about the frying pan. I love that thing on Facebook. It says, honey, am I fat? He looks at her, am I stupid? Let me tell you a secret of happiness. Never talk about physical things with your wife. You love her no matter how she is. I heard the guy said, his wife said, honey, will you marry me if I get fat? He said, honey, I married you for better or worse, not thick or thin. There's certain things that a man ought to pride himself about taking care of his wife. There's so many people that are so picky today. And you don't fit into the, quote unquote, the stereotype. Some of you poor girls that are so skinny, you wouldn't have a chance back in the dark ages, because everybody was pleasingly happy. Be careful how you treat her. I think a man ought to love his wife pretty close to figure out that it almost looks like you're worshiping her. Yeah, she liked that, didn't she? Oh, yeah. Remember, the Bible says she's a weaker vessel. The Bible says, be not bitter against her. What do you think the Scripture's talking about on that? He said, look out for her. She's a weaker vessel. Look after her. I know she can rip you apart one way or the other, but she's still a weaker vessel. Take care of her. Love her. Comfort her. Watch after her. Don't put her in a position that makes her have to go against the principles of her life. and you push her to do something that she is very uncomfortable doing. Don't do that. Know who she is. Know who she is. She's the queen of your home. And queens are always taken care of very well. You give them the diamonds and the rubies and the gold and the best crock pot you can buy so she can make you good food. God's good. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for tonight, and I thank you for the opportunity that you give us, that we can realize that you are a great God and that you take care of us and supply our needs greater than mankind can even think about doing. Lord, be with us today. And Lord, help us to understand the unchangeable goodness of you and your omniscience and your everywhere at all places at all time. In that fact, it should make us want to live more like you. God, now speak to our hearts. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here tonight and you say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved." And boy, there's a God in heaven. I want that. I want that kind of God. Oh, my friend, will you come to Jesus tonight? You're here tonight and say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved." Would you lift your hand? Let me pray for you. I'm not saved. I'm not sure I'm saved. Can I help you? Let's all stand. You're here today and you say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved." Why don't you step out down the aisle and say, "Preacher, I want to get saved. You come right now."